Our reading today is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, along with the word of welcome shared earlier, I extend my own to you today, and not only to those of us who are gathered here, but those who are a part of our service via the internet today. We have quite a few people who join us through our website, and no matter what distance away from St. Luke's you might be today, we hope you feel very much a part of our community, and we thank you for joining us in worship. Well, you'll notice on the cover of your worship guide, there are a number of different flags. We are thinking globally on World Communion Sunday. So this can be a little personal contest or game for you to take home from worship and not do during the next few minutes. Wait till later. See if you can name the countries for each of these flags on the cover of your worship guide. Test your knowledge of flags and countries. And if you want to check, you can go to the website, the church website, and find the answers to the countries identified by the flags. I want you to think for a few moments about what it would be like to be an ambassador to one of those countries. What would that be like? Surely the first thing you'd have to do is learn the language of that country. You would learn how to speak that language and communicate with the people and understand them, because your job is to be able to articulate American policy. If you were going to parts of Africa, you'd have to learn Swahili. If you were going to the Middle East, you'd probably have to learn Arabic. If you were going to the country of North Carolina, you'd learn how to speak Southern. It's easier to speak than it is to understand. That's the tough part, it's understanding it. But you would have to learn how to communicate with people. You'd probably want to learn about the customs and the culture of that country. You'd probably want to learn something about the history of that country. What does life look like from their perspective? When you speak to the people, you are not sharing your opinion. Your opinion is that of the President of the United States. Your job is to be an ambassador, to represent American policy to another place. So with that in mind, what might Paul have been talking about when he called the Corinthians ambassadors of Christ? That they are to be people who learn to relate to others and see life from their perspective, so that they could fairly represent the values of Jesus Christ. They could communicate Christ's message. And what is that message? Paul summed it up in one word: reconciliation. Reconciliation. What does that really mean? The passage you heard read a moment ago begins with these words: From now on, we do not regard other people from a human point of view. Perhaps Paul meant by that, that we're not going to look at people as objects, as a foreigner, as somebody who's poor, as somebody who's rich, as somebody who's different. We're going to look at people from the perspective of Jesus Christ, someone with whom I am called to be in relationship, someone who has the power to change, to experience transformation. As Paul said, to be a new creation, somebody who can actually become a new person. Have you ever looked at people before? And whether you said it or thought it, you communicated, that person will never change. That person will always be that. You know, something happens to us when we think that way. We just start to treat them as if we've written them off. We're challenged to be ambassadors of Christ. What does that look like? I want to tell a story to you. It's a true story. It is a story about a woman named Laura Blumenfeld. Here is a picture of her you'll see on the screen. Beautiful woman, a reporter with the Washington Post. Some years ago, she wrote a book entitled Revenge, A Story of Hope. It chronicles her experience of finding the person who nearly killed her father. In 1986, her father was nearly killed by a Palestinian gunman who was a part of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. There were many tourists who were killed in the event. She went to Jerusalem, posing as just a journalist tracking a story, seeking to find the perpetrator of this event, the person who nearly killed her father. She went to get revenge. So she traveled there. She started investigating, turning up some leads, found her way to a Palestinian family. As she got to know them, she learned that a member of the family named Omar was in prison for militant activities. When she inquired what that was, a 12-year-old in the family said, he tried to kill some Jew. He tried to kill some Jew. She knew she had found the right family. This next picture shows, of course, Laura on the right, a picture of her with her father when she was a little girl. You can tell she's a daddy's girl. And then on the far left, Omar Khatib, the man who tried to kill her dad. She was at first outraged by the way the family spoke of Omar's activity. They spoke of it with admiration, almost making fun of what he tried to do. She remembered, this is the guy who nearly killed my dad. But as she kept visiting, they kept welcoming her into their home and treating her like family. And she started seeing life from their perspective. She started feeling what it was like to be somebody living in an occupied territory. And now she's having a hard time looking at life through their eyes, but holding on to her need for revenge. She started writing letters to Omar. She was granted a visit. She was granted a number of visits. At first, he just defended what he had done. She said, well, I actually know the man you tried to kill. He's a good man. He's a decent man. One day, Omar even admitted to her his regret for what he had done and expressed sympathy. This is when something really challenging started happening to Laura Blumenfeld. She was finding it harder and harder to hold on to hatred and hold on to revenge. So one day she went to the Wailing Wall and she wrote one word on a piece of paper as her prayer, and she put it in a crack in the wall. She knew that if that one word was to come about, it would take a miracle of God. She went to the trial for Omar's parole and sat with the family. As she was sitting there, she felt she had a choice. She was either going to demand an eye for an eye, or she was going to turn the other cheek. And she said, I had to turn the other cheek. Now remember, this is a Jewish woman talking about turning the other cheek. She asked for permission to speak. She stood up and she said to the judge, I do not know all the details of this trial, but I know this family and I have gotten to know this young man. And more than that, I know the victim. And the victim has said, 12 years is enough. Let him go. The judge silenced her. No more. You have no right to speak. Be quiet. And then she spoke the words in Hebrew that stunned the courtroom. Ani habashilu. I am his daughter. I am his daughter. She had no clue what that was going to do to this Palestinian family that had trusted her, that had welcomed her into their home. They would have never admitted things to her like they did if they had known she was the victim's daughter. In a sense, she had betrayed them. It did not affect the outcome of the trial. The judge did not grant Omar a parole. But when she returned home, ABC News Prime Time picked up the story. And they offered to send Laura and her father back to visit with this family. So they did. She had no idea how she was going to be received. But much to her surprise, she was welcomed into their family. Here's a picture of Laura with the family when she went back. They treated her like a sister, like an aunt, like a daughter. When she was in that parole trial, at one point she pointed a finger at Omar and she said, you have promised me, you have given me your word, you would never do something like this again. And I want you to know I trust you. This is between us. This is between our families, the Blumenfelds and the Khatibs. We have covenant now. What was the one word she put on that piece of paper that day? She said, if it's to ever come about, it's going to take a miracle of God. Transformation. Transformation. Listen again to what Paul said to the Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So, we are ambassadors of Christ. That is the hope of the world. The hope of our world is transformation. People who experience the power of reconciliation and change in their own lives and dare to share that message and let God use them to bring reconciliation to others. Have you ever noticed that when you point a finger at somebody and you tell them they're wrong, they don't have a way of changing a whole lot? You ever notice that in your family or with your friends? You have to. Somehow it's in the experience of compassion and mercy and forgiveness that transformation can happen. The vision of St. Luke's says, we envision being people transformed by God who transformed the world. The vision of this church reminds us how transformation happens. Before we ever go out to be transforming agents, we first must experience transformation within ourselves, because we all need that. We all need that. On World Communion Sunday, we remember, as we celebrate communion, that this one Sunday of the year, we are encouraged with people and churches on every continent, speaking all kinds of language among all kinds of races of people, that there is one thing particularly that unites us as people, and that is this: every one of us needs forgiveness. Every one of us needs mercy. Every one of us has contributed in little ways, and sometimes not so little ways, to the division of our world. We all, to a certain degree, live in separation from God, from each other. We all need transformation. And as we experience that, we can become a part of God's transforming activity. You know, sometimes it's easy for people to say, our world needs saving. Sometimes people will even talk about, I just want to be a part of saving the world. Some little piece of the problem, that's my cause. It's clean water, it's helping the poor, it's education, but I want to be a part of saving the world. But when it gets different is when we say, and I need saving. I need saving too. And our sharing in communion today is a reminder that God has sent an ambassador to you and me. God has sent his own Son to speak our language, to relate to our life, not to punish us, not to condemn us for everything we've ever done wrong, but to restore us, to forgive us, to let us know that we can be new again. So, let us receive this very ordinary symbol of an extraordinary act of God's transforming love. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, as we will pray in a moment, we come not trusting in our mercy, but in your goodness. We come recognizing that, like people all over the world, we are not perfect. We are in need of grace and forgiveness. We are in need of your help. We live with brokenness and with failure. But we come today recognizing that that is not the final word. We live with hope. We live with power to change through Jesus Christ. So we come today and thank you for your desire to make of us new creations and to send us out as agents empowered to transform the world.